Well, I'd appreciate your prayers tonight. We wrote on the board, I bring myself under. I've been meditating for some time on the scriptures in Matthew, the 18th chapter, and the third verse. Maybe we'll start at the first. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, the disciples here were doing something adults sometimes do. They were asking Jesus, who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom? It seems like they still couldn't comprehend the basic elements sometimes of what Jesus was doing. And that he was setting up a spiritual kingdom on the earth or in men's hearts, and that there wasn't going to be a kingdom with a hierarchy and some with great places and some, you know, I wonder who decided to ask this question. Did Peter? I don't know. But Peter felt pretty close to the Lord. You know, and the Lord took Peter up on the Mount of Transfiguration in different places. He was kind of, if you want to say, a buddy with the Lord, more so than just simply one of his disciples. And so whoever this was that was asking this question, who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus said to them, he called a little child over there, and he said, I'm going to paraphrase. I want to tell you something. Unless you completely change your way of thinking and you become like these little children, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what he was saying was that word that's translated as converted, it actually means, and I'll just read the Greek here, from Strong's, to twist. That is, turn quite around or reverse. One of the places it's used like this. In their hearts, turned back again into Egypt. And so it's talking about a real reversal. And so Jesus told them, he said, unless you really reverse your thinking and your heart, and you become like these little children that don't have those vain aspirations yet, he said, you're not going to make it. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And I want us to think tonight about the two words here, along with what we've already said. The two words says, humble himself. You know, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to come down, I'm going to bonk you on the head, I'm going to put you in your place. You know, Jesus can do those things if he wants to. But he said, if you want to make it and be great in the kingdom of heaven, then humble yourself. And I'm persuaded tonight that there's a lot of things and a lot of different elements in life besides trying to be the greatest that we have to bring ourselves under. You know, Jesus gave this job to you and me. He wants to be in our life a fullness of a reflection of God, doesn't he? And you know, he can't do that if we are exalting things in our lives. I'm not saying trying to be ahead of someone else. You know, one scripture says in understanding, be ye men. But he said, that's 1 Corinthians 14 and 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. You know, sometimes we feel like we have every right in the world. And I've talked to people that felt like they had every right in the world to have malice and hatred in their heart. And I was talking to a man one time, and he was wanting to get saved, and he was, and some things came up in his life, and this man's been gone for a number of years. Older man, he had fought in the Second World War over in the Pacific area theater, and he said, you mean I have to forgive the Japs? I said, you sure do. I'll never do that. And he closed the door. I will never do that. Now, there was nothing I could do about that. And there was nothing God was going to do about that. Because God gave it to him that if he wanted to be where he needed to be in the kingdom of heaven, he was going to humble his heart and give that to God. And tonight, I want to encourage us folks. When Jesus said, humble himself, the word humble means to depress. That's, you look it up in the Greek, to depress figuratively, to humiliate. We're not talking about depressing feelings. We're talking about bringing something down and under. And he says here in condition, or it goes on to say, figuratively to humiliate in condition or heart. And humility, Webster says, consists in lowliness of mind. And Jesus gave us a little understanding here that we're going to have to humble ourselves if we want to be blessed of the Lord. And so tonight, that's really my message. Folks, if we want the Lord, we're going to have to be willing to give up ourselves. The Lord won't do it for us, and he won't make you do it. But I want to tell you something. He said in that last verse we read, or in Matthew there, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so if you really want to inherit the greatness of the kingdom, then let's bring ourselves under to the Lord. I know that there are, as we said, many things that can be in our lives. I want to encourage us tonight to look at ourselves. Because if we are not living for God, there's a reason. And I want to tell you, if you're not living close to the Lord, there's a reason. There's some things that we're probably going to have to give up our way and our thoughts so that God can have his way. Because I believe that the Lord wants to just bless every life fully and completely. That's what the scriptures teach us, isn't it? The Lord wants to bless our lives. And I believe that the way to that is to humble ourselves and to give up our thoughts and our ways tonight. In James 4 and 6, we've often read this verse. And I ask your prayers. I feel a little bit... I just need the Lord to bless us tonight. Amen. It says here in James 4 and 6, but he giveth more grace. I want to tell you something. God wants to give you more grace. And did you know that grace, that favor from God, that empowerment and enablement that is in that word grace that comes from God? It says he giveth more of it. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now let me ask you something. Who is the proud? Or what is the proud? The proud is our way, isn't it? The proud is our self sticking up. And he said he resists the proud. And I want to tell you something. There isn't anybody on the earth that can make you humble your heart except you. And so I want to encourage us tonight. It's a simple little message. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, he's not telling anybody else to do that. He's telling you to do it, and me to do it. And he says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, I want to tell you, it's one thing to feel like we've given. I gave up my thoughts. It says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And you know, when we do that, he says he'll lift us up. If we want to be rich in the Lord, you can be rich in the Lord. But you're going to have to give up your way and your thoughts and the things that we would do tonight. You know, another place Jesus found them in Mark 9, he found them, he said, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last and of all and servant of all. Now I want to tell you tonight, we might think it's a little funny for people to try to be first. And maybe in spiritual things, we don't see much of that. But I want to tell you something. The devil's real. And he wants you to feel like you need to have the highest place in society. Or the greatest this, or the greatest that, or the nicest this, or the nicest that. Or whatever it is. But I want to tell you something tonight. The Lord wants to make us great in his eyes. He wants to give us grace from on high. And I want to tell you who he gives that to. The servant of all. Did you hear that? I want to tell you who he gives that to. The servant of all. Serve. Let your heart be lowered down. Take the knocks of life and get the grace of God. Go into the places of life and become a servant to the Lord. Become a servant to people. And I will tell you, you will enjoy in your life, I believe this, you will enjoy a measure of grace that comes no other way. So tonight, it's pretty straightforward and simple here, but Paul found that secret in his life. At one time, Paul was on top. Paul was going about seeing who he could put in prison and all these things, and the Lord struck him down. And I will tell you, Paul's life changed completely. And Paul became the object of much persecution, didn't he? But we have 13 epistles in this. We have writings in the scriptures that came from Paul's life. He said in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, he said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I want to tell you tonight, or share with you tonight, folks, we must bring ourselves under subjection. And that's what Paul said. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We have to do that. And there isn't anybody else to do it for us. That we can't, our mama or daddy, our wife, our husband, our children, nobody can do that for us. We have to. And so we bring ourselves under. We bring our own will under to the will of God. We bring our own exalted thoughts under so that we become a true servant. And nothing but that. so that the desires that flow out of our heart, I want to tell you, the devil wants to put things in your heart that aren't like that. He wants to put things in your heart that makes you strive with people and makes you contentious and makes a lot of problems and a lot of issues in life, doesn't he? But I want to share with you tonight that if you want the grace of God in your life and to cover your life and to bless your life, young folks, give yourself to the Lord as a servant to the Lord and people. Give yourself to God and humble yourself. I know we have lofty dreams when we're young. I remember the time when I had dreams about what I wanted to do in life and all of that. But I want to tell you, when I gave that all to God and let Him have His way, I cannot imagine the difference that would have been in my life. I cannot imagine what I would have had. Had I had all kinds of money, had I had all kinds of things, I can't imagine the contrast between that and the peaceful home life and work that God has given us to do. I thank God for that today. You know, Jesus, He was a man, wasn't He? He came for the very purpose to give His life. That was His purpose in life. And He said, "My meat is to do the will of God." Now, I want to tell you, Jesus had to humble Himself too, didn't He? Because when He saw the cost of the cross, and He saw what He was going to have to pay, and when He knew that He was going to suffer like that, do you know that He had to go pray, didn't He? And when He prayed, it says He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And Jesus wrestled there in agony at Gethsemane, didn't He? And God sent the angels, didn't He, to strengthen Him. And I'll tell you today, if we have to wrestle like the Lord wrestled, He'll send the angels to us too. I'm persuaded of that. But Jesus, it says, Philippians 2 and 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself." He humbled Himself. He went to God and said, "Lord, God, if there's any way, let it be, if there's some other way," I'm paraphrasing, "but nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt." And so He humbled Himself before the will of God in His life. And I want to encourage us today, if God's been calling on your life or God's been touching you, please give it up. We need it. We need to see the grace of God working in your life in those ways. Give it up. Give it to God and let Him have it. You say, "Well, I will be destroyed." That's what Jesus could have said. "I'm going to be destroyed. What will I have left? They're going to crown me with thorns. They're going to beat me. They're going to crucify me. And then I'm going to die." That's what Jesus could have said, isn't it? You know what? We could say some of those kind of things too. "Well, what if I gave up? What if I took God's way? What would my home be like then?" Be a lot better off. That's the way it'd probably be. A lot better off. Okay? When we give ourselves to God and we humble ourselves. How many times have you and I had to come before God and plead with the Lord, "Lord, I need help. This man needs to come under." I have to do that. I don't know about you, but I have to. "Lord, I've got to come under. Lord, I want Your grace in this thing. I don't want this feeling. I want the feelings God has." And I'll tell you what I've seen. I've seen Him just change it completely, just with a visit. And I've seen Him change those feelings until there was totally the opposite. That's what God can do in our lives. We wonder, "Yeah, but I would be destroyed." No, you won't be destroyed. Not taking God's way. When you take God's way, folks, He will uphold you. He will strengthen you. He will settle you. He will make you a pillar and somebody to be counted on in your little area. Jesus said in Luke 18 and 10, He said two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I don't like to hear a prayer like that. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself, what's it say? Shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What's exalted mean? It means to be put in a high place, doesn't it? So the Lord going to put us up on a throne? Are we thinking carnal again? Or are we going to be exalted by the presence of the Lord? That's quite an exaltation, isn't it? If we humble ourselves, the promise of God is that He will exalt us, that His presence will be with us, the King will live within us. I want to look a little deeper into all of this and change directions a little bit. In Romans 12, you know, when we start thinking about humbling ourselves, sometimes we can get the wrong idea. Does it mean that we're incapable of doing anything? Does it mean that we're now incapacitated to be able to handle problems? What's it mean when you bring yourself under? It means you take God's way, doesn't it? And His way's not wimpy, folks. There's nothing wimpy about God's way. I want to look at what the Scriptures tell us here a little bit about being humble. It says here in Romans 12 and 3, For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, when we think soberly, I want to tell you something. You're not nothing. You're everything through Christ. When we debase ourselves in such a way that, you know, well, I can't do anything. I just can't. That's not humble. That's proud. That's exalting myself. I can't and I won't. Is that right? That's kind of proud, isn't it? But Paul writes here and he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly. Now, I want to tell you, when we think soberly, we recognize that God gives men and women gifts, doesn't He? And he wants us to feel confident in that. And He wants us to use those things. And He wants us to recognize those gifts. Is it wrong to recognize that God has given us a gift? I think we need to know that, don't we? Maybe we don't always just sense it right away. But it says, For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, or preach according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, meaning let's use it like God wants us to. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, you know, God is going to put you in some places sometimes where He actually wants you to exercise in that place. He's not wanting us to say, I can't. Because there's a scripture that says I can, right? Anybody think of it? I can do all things. Is that proud? I can do everything through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I want to encourage us tonight, folks, let's humble ourselves to the will of God. That of course, as we've been saying, doesn't mean that I don't have any gifts and that I save myself. I can't do anything. I'm just going to sit back here and I'm going to eat and drink and be merry. Folks, God has something for you and me to do. And He wants us to be willing to do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, there's a little parable over in Matthew, the 25th chapter, and I want to turn there and read that. We have some things God has given us. 25 and 14 of Matthew says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." You know what this tells us? It says he gave to every man according to his ability. Now, the Lord wants us to be willing to say, "Lord, I want you to give me my talent," meaning my responsibility, my gift, the thing that you could use in my life. And so the kingdom of heaven, it's like a man that's gone to a far country and he's left behind some things for you and me. Folks, I want to encourage us tonight to not look at this as, "Oh, I would be proud if I..." Some of you get up here and sing songs. I'm really glad you do. Some give exhortations from the Lord. I'm really glad you do. I want to tell you tonight, God has a place for us to work. And if it's God, it'll fit into the body. Others will recognize it. We won't have to fight our way in with it. And so we humble ourselves to the Lord and take upon us the charge that He has given us. It says here that He gave to every man according to his ability. Now, folks, it is proud and it is wicked for us to say, "I don't have anything to give." I hope you never say that, because let's read this a bit and see what it says. "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.'" I want to ask you something. Was it proud of him to say, "Lord, you gave me 5 and I've gained 5 more"? Was that proud? It was just a reckoning of what the Lord helped him to be able to do. And so his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." He also that had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." And his Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But for him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so tonight, I just want to challenge, I want to encourage us tonight, folks. The Lord has given to each one of us a life, a talent, a gift. Let's don't deny that. Let's ask God, Lord, what is it that you have for me? I want to tell you how to not use that gift, and that is to take my own aspirations, my own way, my own thoughts, my own desires in life. Just allow the things of life to crowd it out and to cause it to be unprofitable. And we come to the Lord and it's of no profit. But the man that finds those things of God and humbles himself to the work of God, to the plan of God, to what God has for him in his life, I want to tell you the Lord has something real special for you tonight. And so I just want to share those few little things. I have a few more thoughts, but you know the Lord really wants to use our lives. Let's don't be proud enough that we can't stoop to do it. And let's don't be so proud that we can't say I can. Because that's just simple rejection of the Lord to do that. And so tonight, I want to ask you how it is in your life with what God has given you and how you're walking with the Lord and what you're looking at for the rest of your life. Are you only thinking of what you can get out of this? Or do you recognize that God has given you a talent and think soberly that God wants you to use it? I don't know what it may be. God wants to call from some of this group right here. I can tell you, he wants to call ministers. He wants to call pastors and teachers. He wants to call people that just help in the work. He wants to call people to the work of the grounds and all of those things. God wants to put that on our life. If we're too proud to do the grounds work, then we won't get to do anything because God's not going to plant it around us. He wants us to humble ourselves to his plan and ask him, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, would you please use my life? I remember when Rosie and I started out quite a few years ago now. And I want to tell you, there was one thing in our hearts and minds is, Lord, please use our lives. Please use our lives. You know, I want to challenge you to ask God that. Young folks, if you want the best of life, do it that way. Okay? I really believe that. You want the best of life, do it that way. And ask God into your life. And for us to say, well, I don't think God could use me, don't be so proud as to say that. Don't be so lifted up against God. He's the maker of you. As to say, well, I can't. I was afraid. Folks, bring yourself under. Bring ourselves. We have to bring ourselves under. There's things, yes, the Lord may ask us to do. But I want to tell you, he'll give grace for it too. You won't be on your own. And so tonight, the Lord talked to our hearts a little bit. Exalt yourselves in our lives. Cause us to humble our hearts. The scriptures tell us in John 12, it says, verily, 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 I say unto you, I'm going to tell you something here. I want you to hear. He says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, I looked up one time to see how much fruit comes off of different plants. And you'd be surprised how many thousand seeds can come out of one. It is truly amazing. And a big oak tree, it is surprising how much more comes from it than what is sown. Let us, he says here, unless that corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies. He's not talking about it dying completely. He's talking about the shell dying, because inside it is life. He's talking about us giving up our identity and taking the Lord's identity tonight. And so he said, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Oh, I beg us tonight to... We've been submitting to the Lord. I've been feeling the Spirit of the Lord moving and working through our group, through our assemblies this week. And if the Lord talks to our heart, we have to do something, folks. And that's my chief thought tonight. We have to humble ourselves to that. If the Lord begins to work with you and wants to use you in some other way, the best thing we can do is to bring ourselves under and let him do that. The Lord has a good way, and he'll help us. If we find ourselves aspiring to the things of this life and the greatness and the fineries and all the things that this life has to offer, then I want to tell you what to do. Begin to seek the Lord like Christ did when he went to Gethsemane. And begin to give yourself, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And let yourself be brought under and plant your life in the Lord and let him take away the identity that I thought I had to have. And I believe the Lord has something a lot better than we do in life. You pray for me tonight.